Amen. You may be seated, church. Lord, Lord, I thank you, Lord. Not bad for just the three of you. Amen. All right, there was four. Or five. Oh, maybe six. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Right? We still believe in that, right? Okay. All right. Praise report. Amen. Oh, I hear Linda Metcalf right now. Woo, I hear her right now. Amen. No, that's next weekend. Next weekend. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you for the rain. Boy, did we need it. Did they get any at home? No? Ah. Oh. Yeah. 1.4 inches, okay. I'd take another one. I mean, not to be greedy, but... Okay, Lord, you can send some west too. It's fine. Woo, Jesus. We made it through Easter. What I call the church Super Bowl Sunday. Made it through the Super Bowl. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'd take Easter over Christmas any day. I'm just telling you. I'd rather celebrate his resurrection, right? Way more rather celebrate that. And it's way less commercialized too, right? I didn't have to spend $4,000 on gifts for, you know, everybody. Not that I do that anyway, but just so much less pressure. I think we just have two Easters. Can we just do that? Not have all the hubbub of the Christmas season? Ugh. John chapter 20 this morning, if you brought your Bible. John chapter 20. If you didn't, no hard feelings. It'll be on the screen. And if somebody hits a button in the sound booth and the screen goes off, we'll just ask you to quote it by memory if you didn't bring your Bible. Wow. Sometimes I think y'all look at Tammy and go, can't believe she deals with him all the time. You can get a glimpse into my life sometimes too. Almost. A little over a month away. Can we do it? John chapter 20, verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. Oh, to have Jesus stand in our midst. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have celebrated a week ago the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But God, we thank you that the resurrection means he's still alive. That we can continue to celebrate. That we don't need a holiday to get excited about what you've done for us, God. And that, Lord, you can stand in our midst, Lord. And I believe we've already felt a visitation of you, of your spirit, of your love and your power, God. And I pray that that spirit continues. And God, I seek anointing upon those that are going to receive this message, Lord, that their eyes would be anointed to see and their ears would be anointed to hear and their heart and mind would be anointed and opened to your word. And God, I ask that our inner being, our inner self, Lord, would be good, fertile soil that's been worked and tilled and prepared for the seed that's going to be planted today. That in due season, there's a harvest. 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. And God, could we even ask boldly for even more abundance than that? And Father, I seek anointing to deliver this message, to speak peace. Be with you. I thank you. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So after the resurrection, everything had changed. Everything had changed. If you remember the story, after the resurrection, the religious leaders had bribed the guards to say that something else had happened to Jesus, that he wasn't resurrected, that somebody came and stole the body. They bribed the guards to say something, anything other than what actually happened. And we get to chapter 20, verse 19, and we see that the disciples are hiding from the Jews. It says, in fear, for fear of the Jews, they were hiding, had the doors shut, closed themselves in, because they were afraid of what the religious leaders were going to do if they found them. Why wouldn't they be afraid? They just saw him crucify Jesus. Well, I'm pretty sure that would create some fear. I'm pretty sure that was the reason, right? That's what capital punishment is designed to do. Not going political here. Don't misunderstand me. The design is to deter other criminals, right? They didn't want people talking Jesus, so they crucified Jesus. And so you've got this group of people who have hid themselves in this room and they've closed the doors and they're just sitting there in it and they're afraid. They're afraid. I think it's interesting timing. Was anybody afraid last night? It's okay. Right? Some of us have Freddy holes. That's what my family always called them. Freddy holes. You know, cellars, basements, whatever. Some of us were in them last night. A storm like blows through last night. It's reasonable. I'm not saying fear isn't something that we all have. You know, you get me on a ladder 25, 30 foot high, you're going to see some fear. Right? Been there, done it. It's not fun. But was the job, and that's what I did. But they're sitting there, and the thing about the time was everything had changed, and you see that they're afraid, and it kind of reminds me of is there's an old book called The Tale of Two Cities, right? Some of you can quote the line in towards the opening of that book. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? That's kind of what this was. Because it was the best of times because Jesus had been resurrected. But it was also the worst of times because they're obviously afraid of the Jews and what's going to happen to them. Jesus got resurrected. I'm not sure how certain they were that they would be resurrected. You know? If you knew you were going to be resurrected, okay, that's one thing. But if you don't, that's a whole other thing. There's some fear involved in that. So we find them holed up in this room with the door shut, and they're afraid, and there's no peace. Because you know when you're afraid, you have no peace. When you're scared, there is absolutely no peace to be found. When you're really genuinely afraid. And so here they are in this room. And then Jesus came. And he stood in their midst. And he didn't say, "Hey guys, how you doing?" He didn't say, "Anything new?" He said, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Could I say that to you today? Peace be with you. I think about some of the different families in the church and some of the people going through things, and there's a part of me, I'm coming undone, a part of me coming undone. There's another part of me that wishes I could just go to Brother Barney's house and stand in the middle of Brother Barney's house and just say, "Peace be with you." I wish I could go see Tyler and stand in the midst of all that and say, "Hey, peace be with you." Or Colton. There's so many different places I wish that I could be in the midst of, but it's just not possible for me. But I know that Jesus can show up anywhere. Right? And wherever Jesus is, there's going to be peace. Wherever Jesus is, there will be peace. And I tried to put myself in the position of the disciples, and I tried to read this verse and use my sanctified imagination, because I see them in this room with the doors shut, and I see them all sitting around this room, and they're afraid. And so, you know, what do you do when you're afraid? You listen, right? And you start to hear things. Like they're listening for footsteps. Probably listening for the clanging of armor. Listening to conversations happening outside of that house. Listening to hear for the voice of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to take them away. Listening to the conversations that are being had and what's being said. Because I'm sure after the resurrection of Jesus, after his crucifixion, I'm sure that was the talk of the town, right? I'm sure that you couldn't go to the market without people talking about what happened to Jesus. And oh, hey, they say that he rose out of the grave. I'm sure that they're hearing lots of those conversations, but I'm sure they're also hearing things, or think they're hearing things, that they're not really hearing, because when you're afraid, that happens. I saw a quote a while back that said, you're not afraid of being alone in the dark. You're afraid of not being alone in the dark. Right? And I tried to put myself in their shoes. And I tried to create or feel that environment of just expecting the knock to come at the door and them asking for Peter, them asking for James or John, them asking for any of the disciples, saying, "Hey, we need to talk." And then I imagine Jesus comes and stands in their midst. And he says those simple yet powerful words, "Peace be with you." We live in a day and a time where we need more of that. Peace be with you. So much uncertainty, so much anger and frustration. If you had been, some of you were here, some of you were not. Please don't ever misunderstand what I'm saying. Those of you that were here Wednesday night, you know, we were going to have a Bible study and we really talked a lot of other things other than Bible study. Talked about the school bathroom situation that's so public right now. Talked about a lot of different things. And by the end of the night, I was wore out trying to navigate through all of those conversations in a way that doesn't misrepresent or represent the church poorly or my views poorly or Jesus poorly, because my top priority is representing Jesus well. And I just thought, boy, if we could just show up at the school or the school board, peace be with you. I believe we need to be so Jesus-like that our presence brings peace. So much like him that people will just instantly calm when we show up. Just like suddenly, I call it, and I preached a message several years ago about being climate changers. That when we walk in the room, the climate changes. That when we step in there, just like Jesus, when Jesus stepped in there in their midst and said, peace be with you, everything starts to change. Verses 20 and 21. And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Climate just changed. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. I think he could have stopped right there where the semicolon is. Because then he just said, peace be with you. Oh yeah, and I'm sending you just like the Father sent me. Wait, hold on. Whoa, back up here. Because I know where you ended up, Jesus. When the Father sent you. Right? But maybe he needed to preface, I'm sending you with, peace be with you. Because they needed to know they were going to have peace with them. They were going to have Jesus with them. And they were being sent out. He showed them, first of all, his scars in his hands, his feet, his side. To say, hey, I am who you think I am. And here's the proof. Because some of us would need to see. Like we would need to see the scars to know. I don't know. I don't know if I would want to see them or not. And the reason I say that is because I take too much ownership of those scars. Like I take ownership of those scars. This is my fault. I don't know if I want to look at them. I don't know if I want to see them. I did that. Because of me. But yet, he did. And again, after he shows them the scars, he repeats, Peace be with you. I think it was because of those scars that he could say, peace be with you. Right? It was because of the scars in his hands, the scars in his feet, the scar in his side. It was because of those that Jesus could speak and say, peace be with you. Jesus wanted so desperately to give them peace. Some of us want so desperately to have peace. Peace in our home. Peace in our job. Peace in our family. Like, I tell you, I'll be totally honest with you, okay? Because it's good that you know that I don't think me or my life or my family are perfect. We had a little situation that we had to deal with as the leaders of the family just a couple months ago to bring peace back into some of our family. And I had to step into the role and do what needed to be done and made sure that people knew that I was doing what I felt like needed to be done, but I wasn't happy that I was even having to do it. And, you know, the Lord was with me the whole time. And I praise God that we're coming to a place where we have peace. Peace is so important. And I think we don't value it as much as it should be valued until it's missing. Right? We don't think about what we can do to keep peace until peace is gone. And then we're trying to get peace back. And peace doesn't come back all in one piece. Peace comes back in pieces. Gradually, slowly, moment by moment and inch by inch. But peace can come back. It can. But I promise you that it's not going to, it will, let me say it this way. It will come back faster with Jesus than it will with anything else. You can do whatever you want to do. You can try anything you want to try. You can try to force it. You can try to press it. You can try to push it. You can try to create it yourself. But if you just let Jesus be in the midst, peace will be with you. You got to let him be in the midst. Isaiah 9:6 make you think of Christmas. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Isn't it amazing that the Prince of Peace can bring peace? Wow, isn't that a novel idea? It's almost like it was in the name or something. It's almost like he was trying to communicate in Isaiah, right? Isaiah, way, way back there. He's going to bring peace. Every part of his name, Wonderful Counselor, what does a good counselor do? Brings peace. Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Oh, Lord, I need a little more peace. We need a little more peace. You know that you cannot give something you do not have. Okay? You cannot give something to somebody if you don't have that thing already. We have to be at peace to help create peace. We can't live in turmoil and then think that peace is going to come. We can't live one way and then think that God's just going to bring peace. Well, Jesus is going to get in the middle of it. Well, he can, and he might. But it would be way easier if we were at peace. If we weren't fighting and pushing and stressing against this thing or that thing. Sometimes we think we're going to create peace. And sometimes we think we're going to create peace, and what we really create is chaos. Because we think we're going to make this, you know, make it better, right? I'm going to go and I'm going to make it better. Good luck with that one. Hope that works out for you. Do me a favor and video the whole thing for me, because, well, I'd like to watch it. You know, sometimes it's fun to watch things fail. Like, I showed a video a while back, it has been a while, to youth group, and it was cat fails. It was cats trying to do things, and they had to guess whether they were the fail or not. I'm sorry, watching a cat fail is just funny. Tries to jump on something and misses, and just, oh, it's just fun. They have 9 lives, it's fine. I read this, and I thought to myself when I read this, if I could get a message out, like if I could get a message out to the church, Big C Church, don't forget the Prince of Peace. Don't forget peace be with you. Don't forget that when Jesus came in the midst of them with all of their fear and all their stresses and all their anxieties, and knowing that they were coming for him, or believing they were coming for him, and they sat in that room together and they were there and they were afraid, and then Jesus shows up in the midst of them and he could say a million different things to them. He could have said, "I got this." He could have said, "Open your eyes, there's angels all around you." He could have said, you know, "God's going to send a lightning bolt, you're good." But instead, he simply said, "Peace be with you." Sometimes what we say can affect the climate around us. And sometimes what we don't say can affect it just as much. Jesus said, "Peace be with you." He said, peace is coming, essentially. There's peace in this place. I just love when I step into a place and there's peace. And I just want to run from the places that I step into and there's not any peace. And in those moments, I pray that I can help change that climate and change that environment that I'm stepping into. And I have been told, and I say this only because I've been told, that that's the kind of effect that I have on certain environments that I step into. And I say that not because I want you to say, "Oh, well, Pastor, so great." I'm saying it because I think we can all be that. I think we can all be that calming influence that can step into a place and suddenly everything can change because we can be like Jesus. He's called us to be like him. He's not called us to come in and create chaos. He's called us to come in and create peace. And then you've got Thomas. Verse 24 of John chapter 20. But Thomas, one of the 12. Yeah, he was one of the 12. Called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger in the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was weird. But I think what he's just saying is, I have to see it to believe it. I have to see those scars. And the disciples, the other disciples are like, we already saw them. And Thomas says, well, I have to see them. You know, we can tell people about Jesus, but they have to see Jesus in us to really know he's real. And if everything they see in us, there's no peace at all, I mean, if there's no peace in us that they can see or hear or feel, then how in the world will they ever come to the Prince of Peace if all they see and hear in us is chaos and confusion and anger and frustration? We need to take on that Prince of Peace into us and to help create peace wherever we go. We cannot live in chaos and claim to know the Prince of Peace. I mean, chaos happens sometimes. It just happens. Right? It just happens. But we need to be the ones that when chaos starts to happen, we start to look for ways to bring peace. I will forever remember, and not to, I only point him out because it's one of those things that I will forever remember, the picture of leadership to me. September 11th, 2001. The president is reading, I believe he's reading a book to school children. One of his advisors comes in, leans over to him, and whispers in his ear, planes have just hit the World Trade Center. And he doesn't throw his hands up. He doesn't jump up and run out. He doesn't do anything but sit there and just go, okay. And then when he comes on TV, he says, we don't know for sure who did this, but we will find them. And this will get taken care of. If you turned on the TV and you saw the president running around in circles with his hands flailing in the air, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How would you react? You think, this is bad. I'm not sure we recover from this. But instead, he said, sitting at the desk, maybe standing at the podium, it's been 21 years. He said, we don't know who did it, but we will find them. We will be okay. We are resilient and we are strong. And suddenly people were at peace in the midst of chaos. See how we respond to chaos can absolutely bring peace. In your work environment, when something happens or when the news comes down about potential cutbacks or layoffs, been there, and the word starts to come around and you're going to have coworkers that are going to just be, oh man, oh no, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how, I don't know. Oh my goodness, I've been there. It was 3 years ago this month. That's wild. The very last day of March, 3 years ago, was my last day at AT&T because they had a cutback, and I got cut. And last August, I went back to work at AT&T. Can I tell you what's amazing? Is that so many conversations that I have with people that I used to work with that know me and know what happened, the first thing they say to me was, I'm so glad you're back. And they should have never done that to you. I said, well, you know what? I'm good. God provided. We're good, right? I get the chance all the time to share the goodness of God. And I did not freak out and I did not wail. And like I'm totally honest with you, okay? I worked with two other engineers in my office at the time. One was an atheist and one's gay. Okay? When I moved into that office, there were all kinds of jokes going around the company. Right? So a preacher, right. All kinds of jokes like that. All over. Yeah. But they watched me not freak out and have peace. You can have peace in the midst of anything. In the midst of anything. It doesn't matter the situation. When you have the Prince of Peace, you can be at peace. When you call to him, look to him, when he's that friend closer than a brother that the Bible talks about him being, when he is your Lord and your Savior, when he is who you're looking to and who you get your strength from and who is your refuge, who is your help, who is your provider, who is everything that you need. There is peace, no matter what. We can stand in the midst of anything when we are at peace. Verse 26 says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst. And even in front of Thomas, he said, peace be with you. And then if you keep reading that story, what you see is he invites Thomas to touch his wounds. And Thomas touches his wounds and realizes and sees that it really is Jesus, because Thomas needed to know and see himself. And I get it. I don't fault Thomas for that. I think he gets a really bad rap, right? Because now that there's the whole phrase, well, he's just a doubting Thomas. Well, you're just a doubting Thomas. When honestly, it could have been a doubting Seth, or it could have been a doubting whatever. It's just Thomas just gets a bad rap for it. But Thomas knew what he needed to believe. He knew what he needed to know that it was Jesus. And my hope, my goal today is that whatever it is that you need to receive that, those simple yet powerful words, peace be with you. That whatever it is that you need, that you're receiving today, whatever it is that you need to start to gain that peace. And in fact, there's a peace that the Bible calls a peace that surpasses even understanding. Like there's a peace that you don't even know why you're at peace. You just know you're at peace. Well, I'll tell you why you're at peace. You're at peace because Jesus is in the midst of whatever you're going through, of whatever's happening, of whatever you're concerned about. The Prince of Peace is right there in the midst of it. If we allow him to come in, if we allow him to take that position. And I had a sense when I was writing out this message that there was going to be somebody who was going to be struggling to have peace. And I don't know what situation is. I don't know what it is. But I just had a sense in my spirit as I was writing out, typing out this message, that there was somebody who just was looking at me almost like the whole time I'm preaching and going, yeah, but Pastor says, you still understand. You still get it. I just deal with chaos all the time. And there's just no peace to be found. I'm trying so hard to find peace. And I know sometimes peace can be so hard to find. Let me just tell you, I've been dog sitting 3 dogs for 2 days. Okay? Not a lot of peace in my home. But today, they leave, and they won't be gone by the time I get home, but I'm going home and I'm leaving. So there's peace. I'm at peace knowing that they're leaving. Sometimes just knowing that somebody's leaving can bring peace. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Word. He got me. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Can we? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And daughters of God. And I know that there are issues out there right now. We talked about some of them Wednesday night. And I know they're important issues. And I don't for a moment want anyone to ever think that I don't think that they're important issues. And we talked about this Wednesday night. Okay? But I would rather be at peace and be a peacemaker. Then for somebody to look at me and the Jesus I represent and the church that I represent and believe in any possible way that I had no peace. I want to create peace wherever I go. Blessed are the peacemakers. I will do everything I can to create peace and make peace wherever I possibly can so that people can see the Prince of Peace. If I present the Prince of Chaos, they'll never see the Prince of Peace. If I present the Prince of Anger, they're never going to find the Prince of Peace. If I present... Ooh, hold on. I better take a drink before I do this one. Stand up in case somebody throws something at me. If I present the Prince of Religion, they'll never find the Prince of Peace. That's right. I want people to know the Prince of Peace. I see so many people that I know have no peace, and you can just see it all over their face and how they interact with other people and how they speak, the words that they use and the way that they talk to people. They just cannot possibly have any peace. I know people that just like to create chaos and like to create problems in places just because they can. Just stir things up just because they can. Oh, and I know some that will even use they did it first. Oh, that matters, right? Are you seven? Didn't matter who did it first. Someone slaps you on one cheek, what do? We turn the other one to them, right? It didn't matter who did it first. I don't care if they did it 44 times, right? We're never going to create peace by trying to create chaos. Blessed are the peacemakers. I want to be that. I want to be that peacemaker. And in fact, there's this song, and I've been thinking about it pretty much the entire day, that we used to sing here. And sometimes, if I close my eyes, I can see the piano that just used to sit right there. Tall, upright piano. And I can see Pastor Hawkins in his full suit with his Tic Tacs jingling every step that he took. Or his keys. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's part of what made He's Under Our Feet. What made that so fun. Was listening to the tick, 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 tick. But Sister Lita sitting over there on the backside of that piano. And we used to sing this song. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. Yes. Oh, God, I thank you. See, we cast our cares upon Him. We place those things, those burdens on his shoulders, and we look to Him to create the peace that we need when we need peace. You remember the story about the storm coming up on the ship, right? And all the disciples are just losing their mind, running all over the ship, just trying to do everything they can, right? They finally go down to the bottom of the ship and they find Jesus and He's asleep. Go figure, the Prince of Peace is at total peace in the midst of the storm. And they say that thing to them that I always find to be the most amazing thing, and it almost sounds like a teenager talking to their parent. Don't you even care? Don't you even care that we're about to die? And Jesus comes up on the boat and says, y'all could have done this yourself, but I'm going to do it for you. And He called peace, the wind and the waves. So if you would do me the favor of closing your eyes and bowing your head, I know that there's somebody, I don't know who it is, and don't raise your hand just so I have a hand raised. Only raise your hand if that's you. And I won't ask you to come up, but if you want to come up, man, come on. No peace. You just have no peace. You want it. You crave it so desperately, but you just can't find it. You know you need it. In fact, you wish you knew how to do it. And you try so hard not to. You try so hard not to just make things amplified or make things worse, but it seems like to you that everything you try just does nothing but make it worse. And the more you seek for peace, the further it away it seems. If that's you, one, know that nobody's told me anything about you or what's going on. And I had no one in mind when I wrote this message. Nobody but maybe me. If that's you, if you just raise your hand, I will pray right now for you. For the Prince of Peace to stand in the midst of all that's going on for you. Yes. 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 Thank you. Father, I thank you that Jesus stood in the midst of the disciples, full of fear and anxiety, full of stress, not knowing what was coming next, not knowing if they were going to be next, if they were going to be the next one to be crucified, the next one to die, the next one to be beaten and whipped, the next one, God, to suffer whatever unspeakable things to be done. I thank you that you came and stood in their midst and you said, peace be with you. And God, I speak right now over those in this place today that they would be peacemakers in their job and peacemakers in their home and peacemakers in their family and peacemakers in society. Peacemakers wherever they go, God, that they would walk daily with the Prince of Peace and that they would create peace wherever they go. Father, I thank you that your words challenge us, that your word challenges us so deeply and so strongly. And I continue to think about, if a man slaps you on one cheek, turn the other cheek to them. Because that's how you create peace. Help us to not be offended, God. Though the world seems so desperately to want to offend us, help us to not be offended. In order to create peace, let us show people the way to the Prince of Peace so that he can stand in their midst and bring peace. Father, I thank you that as we leave here, we leave in peace, God. That we leave here carrying you with us, carrying your word with us, the challenge in it, the encouragement in it, the strengthening in it, God. And that we carry with us the Prince of Peace, that he will be in our midst wherever we go. And I thank you that you bless us. God, I pray that you would let your face shine upon us. Oh, God. That we would be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And blessed wherever we go, bringing peace. Father, I thank you and I love you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. All right. I only went 6 minutes over today. Just saying.